Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
The Lifestyle Show,
presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just gone 3 o'clock. You are listening to Men Talk on Talk Radio Europe. This is normally done at... Giles is jingling away. We normally do this in TRE in the afternoon, but I've been standing in for Selena this week, so we thought we'd make the last hour with me before Christmas a little bit festive. So what is more festive than Giles Brown in a jingly hat?
It's my elf hat. It's Santa! I know him! Santa's coming! He liked us on Instagram.
He liked us on Instagram. It's very exciting. Very exciting. So even though this is radio, it doesn't matter for the listeners because you can hear Giles's hat.
Absolutely.
Well, at least you hope it's my hat anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it could be any particular part of my anatomy with bells on.
But it's his hat. I can It is his hat. So with me in the studio today is Giles Brown, the elf, as well as Andres Gallardo and Peter Bennett.
Afternoon,
Hello.
Han.
Hello.
I don't have a title, do I? Just...
What would you like?
I don't know, but something like a nice elf as well.
You want to be an elf?
Yes.
Okay.
So you want to be
Do you have anything that jingles on you?
I don't want to say...
Only his immense wallet. I'm feeling inadequate
it's
now.
It's been a good year in real estate. Here's my wallet.
Would you like to be an elf, Peter?
I'll be an elf.
You can be an elf.
Peter's
more sort of like a polar bear type.
Polar bear, elf, why not?
Elf. Cuddly polar bear.
Exactly.
Cuddly polar bear. Okay, so I've got some articles here that I thought... So this is nothing
very
like Viewpoint.
Okay.
I know you're used to Viewpoint, Giles.
Yes.
Andreas, you do Viewpoint a lot, but you've been on Men Talk, so you know what it's like. So this is very unserious.
So we can't say, I think it's a discussion. I think that the reindeer should be social distancing.
Exactly.
Can you put a... Is that a red nose behind your mask, or are you just pleased to see me?
Exactly. We could just be silly on this show.
Okay.
So, there's an article here talking about your perfect Christmas day. According to the article, it says, Fizz gained 2 films and 4 inches of snow. Your perfect Christmas
day. Relief.
Yeah.
What are you going to say there?
Oh, yeah, I didn't look you in the eye when I said it.
That's an pull up a joke about somewhere, isn't there?
Every family has its own traditions to make Christmas Day extra special. What are yours? Do you have things that you like to do every Christmas Day? Andreas, we've just been talking about a Spanish Christmas, which, of course, is different to...
You're asking the wrong person.
Okay.
You're asking the wrong person. I hate Christmas.
You've got the Grinch, the elf, and the polar bear.
If I knew it was Christmas, I wouldn't have come.
So what would you be doing on Saturday?
Just going out.
Going out.
Just
okay.
going out, yeah. I'm not a Christmas person, so all that is snow and the turkey and
Doesn't
the Brussels
it.
Sprouts and all
yeah.
of that. I didn't when I was in England, but now I'm in Spain. Now
no.
I'd rather go out in the sun. Well,
okay. Well, yeah, good.
Good luck with that.
I was hoping to go out in the sun. I'll go out in the rain.
Yeah, go out in the rain and be happy with it. Okay, Peter.
Well, I love the sound of that that Christmas day. Actually, that's really nice. At 4 inches of snow, we're not going to get that, are we? We're not going to about 8 inches of rain at this rate.
Yeah.
But if I could keep my wife to 2 festive films on a Christmas day, I think I'd be doing quite well, actually.
Yeah.
Wall to wall in our house.
Really? Do you like to watch lots of Christmas films?
Love it. Even I get emotional and interested, and I'm not quite as anti-Christmas as some in the room, I think.
Anti-Christmas. Yeah. Giles, do you have any traditions?
Well, apart from coming on the radio in the morning.
That is a tradition.
I'm just going to take this jingly hat off, actually.
Okay.
Because it's annoying. Well, it's going to get a bit too much. You get keep every time I move.
Yes. That happened with me. I had jingly Christmas earrings on them, and it was making a noise every time I moved.
Let's not go there. So, I normally do, because I've got the Swedish-Cuban godchildren, and that's a combination and a half.
Yes.
We do Swedish Christmas up in Coen.
Mm-hmm.
Wicked.
Yeah, which is...
Love that.
Loads of herring and then the cold cuts and there's lots of scolding.
Did you say herring?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a relief.
Yeah.
I did sound similar to something else.
Lots of heroin. Not a little heroin. That was my previous Christmases. There's a whole new meaning to White Christmas, and that's something.
I'm going to say herring anyway.
So we do that, and then we do silly. There are silly games that you play, including the Swedish ring game. Don't Google it, Andreas. And steady.
What's the Swedish ring game?
It's a game. It's a, right. So,
oh, you know me. I love a game. If right, I haven't heard of it, I need you to know how it
right,
works.
Right. Okay. So you all stand around in a circle.
Circle. Yes.
And you have a long piece of string. Okay.
Right.
And you, yes, a string. That's
right. How long is a piece of string?
Well, it depends how many people you have, isn't it?
Okay.
And you take a wedding ring or other ring, and you put it in, you know, in the string, as it were. Sorry, excuse me for that.
You did the option there.
Just to show.
Yes, I know. Yes,
like
I know. Stop. Anyway, you put Oh bloody hell! We've lost it now. You put the string through the ring.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
And you tie the string, so you now have an unbroken circle.
Yeah.
And then you pretend somebody's got to have the ring in their hand, but you pass it. Hand to hand,
oh,
and the person
lovely.
Has to guess
oh,
where
yeah,
the thing
yeah.
and there's obviously something
smaller, smaller and smaller.
Sounds like Jenkins.
What, yeah, that's that
from,
again, isn't it? Basically,
no. From our family, you used to play Up Jenkins, so it's the same. There's a ring, but there's no string.
Right.
So everybody's sitting on the table, everybody has
hands,
fists
and they can
on
do
the
that.
Table,
yeah, yeah.
But then everyone puts their hands under
exactly.
the table, and you're passing the ring about, and there's one person who isn't playing and says, Up Jenkins, and everyone puts their hands, and you go, it's not in that one, and then you open, oh, it's not in that, like that.
Exactly. So
it's
brilliant.
The same.
So that's the Swedish. So we do that, then I'll come down the hill, normally listen to the Sunday. The Christmas Day
Sunday
service
sermon,
on my way down and think, right, well, this has nothing to do with me. And then I arrive here and do 2 hours of the profane after 2 hours of the sacred. And then I will normally go back and obviously give the cat its Christmas present. If that stops squirming. And then I will eat myself silly and collapse in front of a Christmas movie, which in my case is going to be a classic James Bond.
I thought you were going to say Die Hard.
No. That is a Christmas movie too.
Yes.
And you've seen my Christmas greeting card, haven't you?
Yes.
With Alan Rickman and the cast, yes.
Yes.
Last year was the cast of The Thing, if you remember that movie. The one in the...
I remember that movie.
Yeah, but we don't watch The Thing on Christmas Day. So I will watch... Last year was Russia with Love. This year, I'm debating which one it should be. But it's got to be it's got to be Spy Who Loved Me is about as far as
you
I go.
You wouldn't know the new ones, then?
Oh, I saw the new one. Yeah, I would... Yeah. Well, a GoldenEye, yes. Casino Royale,
yes.
But otherwise, yeah, 77 is the cut-off point, really.
Got you.
Yeah.
And any Christmas movies, Andreas, is a silly question?
No.
No? No, it's not a silly question.
No Christmas movie.
Is there a financial report you'd like to read over the Christmas season?
I'll tell you a Christmas movie. One Christmas movie I really like is Bad Santa.
Bad Santa.
I really like that movie. Billy Bob Thornton. That's it. Yeah, that is a good Christmas movie for me.
Okay. Do you have a favourite Christmas movie, Peter?
I love most of them, to be honest. Yeah. Sentimental. Can't beat it, can you?
Yeah. What about the Love Actually and the Holiday?
Oh, no. Can't stand that.
I'm all right with that.
Awful.
Yeah.
All right with those, yeah.
Hated Love Actually. And I know I should love it because it's got Alan Rickman and all my favourite actors. Couldn't. I thought it was cloying the whole bit and,
Oh,
I'm all right with that. I'm all right with a bit of...
But Alan Rickman is in two of the greatest Christmas movies then, Love Actually and Die Hard.
Yes, there you go. Right, moving on to this one, which has a very shocking, well, I was going to say shocking headline. The whole thing about it is shocking. I heard this on the radio the other day and I thought, wow, we need to talk about this ourselves. It's bizarre on so many levels. So the headline is, I'll Eat Mum for Christmas. Grieving daughter plans to sprinkle her mother's ashes on her turkey dinner to feel closer to her months after her death. Deborah Parsons, age 41, will season Christmas dinner with her mother Doreen's ashes. Mother of two from Folkestone, Kent, eats spoonfuls of her remains every day. She said, people might think I'm mad, but I feel that she can live on by being inside me.
Right, can I start on this one?
Please do, Giles.
Do you mind?
I'm lost for words.
I wanted to start, but I'll let you.
No, yeah, please, no, Andreas, come on.
Go on, Andreas.
I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
This is
that hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. It's a lie.
Nobody would
do that.
It's not true.
Well, I've seen photographs of her on this article with, like, a spoon.
It's a made-up story. No. Nobody does that. Nobody will do that. I mean, if they do, they're seriously ill. Please, just tell me it's a lie.
In a world where we doubt the mainstream media, Andreas takes issue.
it's all fake news with
the Folkestone Cannibal. What? Now, there's a couple of things strike me with this one.
Yes.
If you don't mind.
Please, Charles. Thank you. She said, you know, liberally sprinkling over the Christmas dinner. Now, has she consulted other of her relatives? And that's number one. You know, do you keep your mum in the spice rack? I mean, you know, this is a question. You know, oregano? Oh, my God, no. I mean, you know, and two, if she says, you know, I want my mum to be part of me forever. This is a woman who obviously failed O-level biology and has never studied the digestive tract.
Yes.
Because 48 hours later...
Mum will be...
Celebrating... Yeah. It actually reminds me of my dear late grandfather, my papa.
48 hours later.
Well, what's the matter with you, Charles?
Another turkey to get past as well, mate. Isn't it?
You know the old saying: the Christmas number one may make you sniff, may make you sob, but the Boxing Day number two really brings tears to your eyes.
It's the protein, right? So when my
Scottish grandfather passed away, his ashes were to be sprinkled over Loch Lomond. Now, if you know Scotland, Loch Lomond is a gorgeous place, and it's very symbolic for Scotland. Yeah. So my Auntie Mary took Papa up there and the whole thing, and she had a little speech, and she had the urn, and she threw the ashes over the Loch Lomond, and a gust of wind blew the ashes back to her, and she was going, bye, Dad, bye.
And then
when asked where Papa's final resting place, she said, to be perfectly honest, there is a large percentage of visit him is at Loch Lomond, and the others are sketchily clean as a Socky Hall Street in Glasgow.
True story.
Oh dear.
Hannah, it does say in the article a bit later on, her two sisters are unaware of the fact that she's doing this mm-hmm. Deborah Parsons. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not unaware of it now, are they? If they've read the Daily Blooming Mail.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly. It's all out.
I tend to come down with Andreas here. I think it's probably fake news, isn't it?
Well, Keith Richards famously snorted his father. Yeah, it's a true story. He snorted his father.
It was a herring.
Oh, no. Did he really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Wow. See, Deborah's not the only weirdo out there.
No, absolutely.
Keith Richards, absolutely.
Anyway, I mean,
this story, it comes from a sad place, you know. It does. She's only lost...
Well, Folkestone. 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 Not Folkestone.
It has gone down the pan, Folkestone, hasn't it?
Oh, no. You know,
like a takeout. Any relative? Imagine ordering spices, you know. family restaurant brings a whole new meal, doesn't it, really?
Come on, 30 seconds of seriousness.
Okay, sorry.
This poor woman has lost her mother.
Absolutely.
She's going to really miss her mother over Christmas. She wants to feel closer to her. This is the kind of...
And grief is a very personal thing,
absolutely,
isn't it? And one deals with it in different ways.
Thank you, Peter, adult comment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's true. It's not true.
But she's off her... But she is off her rocker, like.
Yeah. I just couldn't believe it when I read this story. I just thought, wow, that's... I mean, it's horrible, isn't it? I mean, I don't get how she can feel like it's a beautiful experience.
Well, I mean, normally, I mean, I will obviously feast on the still beating hearts of my enemies when I'm vanquishing them in common, but I'm eating somebody as, you know, I mean...
It's just so wrong, isn't
it's
it?
Just,
it I is. Mean, everything about it... Yeah, I'm a bit disturbed. I think we should take a break.
This is as downbeat as we're going to get, is it?
Yeah.
Good.
Let's cheer us up.
I'm going to put the hat back on.
Well, I don't know. Katie Price next, so we'll see how we go.
Hey, not my belt.
This is
TRE.
The Lifestyle Show.
With Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk. No, Men Talk.
Thank you, Hannah.
I feel better. Have we gone to the cis conversation already?
I
identify as a toaster person. Yes.
I was thinking
we'll be
more serious in this bit. That would be completely screwed.
I don't identify as the Folkestone cannibal.
Men Talk. That Christmas card.
It is Men Talk, believe me, with Giles Brown, Andreas Gallardo and Peter Bennett. There is an article here about Katie Price. I'm sure many of you are familiar. Put your belt down.
Afternoon, BJ.
Right. There was an article about Katie Price and what happened, what she did in September. She crashed her car in September while under the influence of drink and drugs. She was also driving while disqualified for the fifth time. She was not insured, but the judge let her off with a suspended sentence because she booked herself into rehab. It reminded me of the story of Ant McPartlin from Ant and Dec fame a few years ago, who got caught drink driving. Didn't he? Didn't have an accident, did he? In the end, it wasn't a serious thing, but he was stopped for drink driving, and also wasn't kind of prosecuted. And I just think it's an interesting sort of point of discussion. Are people getting away with it because they are famous? Is that okay or not? Is it setting a bad example, do you think?
I said this before, but you cannot criticise Katie Price in front of me. I think she's a role model. I think she is a very, very talented person, and the judge was right to let her go, because she should be an example for all the women in the UK, little children as well. She takes good care of herself, and she shows her caring side every time she appears in public. So I think the judge was right to let her go.
Andreas, you look really serious then. I was getting really worried.
This is where I take out my Team or Peter Andre t-shirt years back. Team Peter.
You do know who Katie Price is.
Katy Perry, isn't it?
No. Jordan, the one with the massive talents.
I'll tell you what, on a serious note. I do think the celebrities tend to have linear sentences than normal people out there. It shouldn't be, but it's the way it is. So, yeah.
John?
To be honest with you. Right, okay.
Now, it's... The thing is this, okay? There for the grace of God goes everybody else. And yes, she's high profile. And yes, it sounds like a complete mess of her life at the moment. But if she doesn't do a custodial sentence and she turns her life around, then fine. I'm thinking of Tony Adams here, because Tony Adams was the Arsenal footballer who famously crashed his car and then ran away and the whole thing. And it would have been really easy for the judge to throw the book at him and go, you know, you're a drunken footballer, off you go. But he admitted to his addictions, and he not only turned his own life around, but he became a mentor for all of those struggling with alcohol in football. And there was a drinking culture in football, and nobody had the things, I was going to say, the footballs to stand up and say, this is because footballers used to go play the match. This is 70s, 80s style.
Yeah.
Brian Robson, etc. The whole thing.
Yeah.
And you drink, and that was the whole situation. That was the whole thing. And if you didn't do that, you were looked at as an outsider. And what Tony Adams did was say, actually, no, I've got a problem here. You know, I'm doing something about it. And other footballers, like the guest you had on a little bit earlier today, suddenly went, that's my story too, and realised that there was a drinking culture. Mm. And now there is no drinking culture on the method in football. Now, you know, Peter the polar bear has been following football, you know, his beloved Liverpool for a long time, and he will say the same stories. It was that whole, you know, great on the pitch, better in the bar. So if somebody like an Ant or a Dec, comes back from the brink, if a Katie Price comes back, and there are horror stories, and there are people who turn themselves around from that brink. Robert Downey Jr. is the one that we always look at, because Robert Downey Jr., an immense talent, but after he made Less Than Zero, he famously said that he used to do drugs and drink at the weekends, and when he did the Less Than Zero, which was the breakthrough movie that he came in the 80s, he said that was just on the set all the time, and from that he just about clung on until it crashed, and he ended up doing a custodial sentence, which he said he wouldn't recommend to anybody, but then he came around, he got clean, he turned his life around.
Look at him now.
And look at him now. You know, Iron Man, the whole thing. He's got a career beyond. And so he has become, to certain people, a pretty much, I've got a quote of Robert Downey Jr. on my fridge. Okay, so therefore, absolutely, true story. So, if you can, like an ant, you know, turn it around and say, I was this bad, and then I've got better, then people go, okay, maybe I can. If Katie Price can, and you know, heaven knows she's had some interesting times, if she then goes, this is my rock bottom,
yeah,
this is my ground zero, this is my final thing, and I will turn my life around or whatever, then great. However, if it goes, if she's found a week later, you know, knee deep in substances and, you know, and I don't know, Gareth Gates or whatever else, then therefore, therefore, you know, because she's had previous on this, so therefore, you know, let's see. Because people can, and I'll, you know, this is my Christmas message, and then I'll let Peter get in. But you know, people have got the capacity to change; they really have, if they really want to. Andres,
can I just say? I mean, the judge's job is to apply the law. Okay, so what you're saying here is, should the judge take a punt that she will become better and make something good out of this?
Mm.
That's only a punt. I mean, with Tony Adams works, but it's not going to work with everybody.
Mm.
So I'm more of the opinion that the book says you cannot drink drive, and if you do, this is your sentence, and that's what should be applied. So if after being to jail or whatever the sentence should be, then she wants to become a better person and help others not to commit the same mistakes, mm-hmm. and everything else, then fine. But at that point, you know, you're saying the judge should take a punt that she will become better. If we apply that to every crime committed,
mm-hmm.
We have no justice system. So I'm sorry. I think, now being serious, before I was being sarcastic, now I'm being serious. I think the judge should have thrown the book to the person. And then after that, the person's decision is to amend her life, in this case, Katie Bright, amend her life and do something good with it. But after she's had her
paid
punishment.
Paid the price, yeah.
Paid yeah. a price.
Boom, boom. Oh,
very good.
And did you say when reading out that article that was the fifth time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That stuck with me a little bit.
She
there
was driving while disqualified for the fifth time. Yeah. So disqualified.
I mean, that is taking the
reasons,
proverbial, isn't it?
Yeah. You know? Exactly. Surely she should be punished after
yes.
the fifth time.
Reincident.
Yeah.
I think one of the interesting things here about public perception is that she's quite a divisive character, isn't she?
Mm.
I think a lot of people either love her or hate her. I don't particularly fall into either camp. You know, I think she was extremely photogenic years and years and years ago, and probably got too much fame too young and too famous too young and went off the rails a bit. However, bringing that divisiveness into it, you look at Ant McPartlin, and I would say 99% of people love them, don't they?
Yeah.
So that public sympathy with him would be far stronger
yeah.
than it would
yeah.
be with Katie Price, for example, because everyone loves him, not everyone loves her, and therefore it's very easy to slag her off.
Mm.
However, having heard the fifth time,
yeah.
it is quite easy to slag her off, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, five. It's true, isn't it? I
yeah.
mean, how many times do you give someone a chance in this
yeah.
in this respect?
Yeah.
It's a tricky one.
In her
it's
case, six times.
Exactly. It's different to whether to supportive friends and family giving her a chance.
Absolutely.
And welcoming her with open arms. Don't worry, we're here for you, supportive, whatever. But in a law sense, it's difficult to understand whether it's okay.
It always makes me laugh, though, especially when footballers get done for drink driving, which they frequently
yes.
do. Because
yeah.
footballers now, I mean, even somebody in the English in the Championship are on about 60 grand a week.
I know.
You can surely afford an Uber, can't you? Yeah. I mean,
oh,
come on.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Come on. You know.
Yeah.
It's not big and it's not clever,
it's
kids.
It's not big and it's not clever.
No, definitely.
So, yeah, anyway, so that's Katie Price.
Out
yeah.
of the way.
Down.
Okay.
Down.
Not, no, not like that. Back off. Get off me, you hussy.
So, moving on,
sorry,
moving on to the next one. Junk food should get cigarette-style health warnings to tackle obesity. So we've seen cigarette packets that have photographs of lungs that look absolutely disgusting and whatever, that may put some people off smoking, may not. They're talking about having a similar kind of thing on cakes, fizzy drinks, frozen pizza, chocolates, all kinds of things like that. They're not explaining what kinds of pictures, but
Casey Price, basically.
Before and after.
Yeah, I'm nervous to suggest what kind of pictures, but the kind of pictures that maybe would put people off eating these things. Do we think that's ludicrous, or do we think that's a good idea?
Well,
you can start, Peter, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose people do need to be educated in some way about salt, sugar, fat content, etc., 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 in all, in many types of food. But, you know, surely parental knowledge should suffice, shouldn't it, here?
Well, it should, but it doesn't seem to, does it? Because of the obesity crisis. So they're kind of trying to do something about it. But I don't understand what pictures they... Can they show pictures of internal organs with fat on them?
Arteries and clogged arteries.
Clogged arteries, that kind of thing, I suppose. Maybe that would...
Picture of John Haystacks.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to stop myself from saying that. I don't think it would be right in so many ways to do a picture of a large person on a... Do you know what I mean? You can't do that. So I'm trying to work out what kind of pictures they would be.
I've got an educational message for your listeners.
Okay.
Oh, okay, stand by.
Yes, listen to this one. If it comes in a packet, don't eat it.
Love it. Okay. Love it.
Simple as that. Yeah, educational. I mean... parents should be educated on those things. But I'll tell you what, we've had a great opportunity here with COVID for institutions to educate people on health matters like eating healthily. And we've missed that big opportunity to make people eat better, to better the immune system and everything else. And this opportunity is gone because with the fear of the pandemic, that would have been more effective than in other times.
Fear. Yeah.
But the message to your listeners continues to be, if it comes in a packet, don't eat it.
Okay. I like that.
Do you like that, do you?
Yeah, I really like that.
Here's my take on it. Okay. Right. apart from lots of cigarettes that say, you know, smoking cigarettes can make sure you don't have any children. So I'm 60 a day, man. I'm going to be smoking in jails for nothing.
This is the thing. Andros has raised a very good point. If it comes with a delivery guy, don't eat it either. Anyway, but the thing is, we have lost... Because I'm a 70s child. Peter's probably a 70s child.
Yeah, no, we're the same age, a 70s child.
And yeah, Andres is
checking the post.
I'm a 70s child.
What I'm saying was, when I was at school 7,000 years ago, when dinosaurs ruled the earth, the thing was, we had a hope. There were home economics classes.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And they were entirely gender specific. So I didn't do home economics, but my sister did. Mm-hmm. And on Friday they made cheese, those cheese twirly things.
Yeah, cool.
Remember that in the car?
Yeah, exactly.
See, we're bonding here. and young ladies were taught how to manage a household, okay? How to make a budget stretch. Now, I know back in the 70s...
So this is what I'm doing wrong. I miss those classes.
Because you're an 80s. No, and that's the thing, because when they brought in the education cuts, that went out the window first, along with playing fields. Yeah,
very
playing
true.
Fields went out the window. Mm-hmm. So we didn't run around, because we ran around. We didn't want to, but we were forced to run around in our underwear.
Yeah.
If you didn't bring your kit in the 70s,
you had to do it
in your underwear.
Honestly,
prostitutions have had a field day these days. Anyway, so we were made to run around. PE was a thing. You didn't get excuses, but also cooking was a thing. Mm-hmm. So you did a home budget. So you were taught, girls were taught, and I know it goes back to how to run a household, right? Mm-hmm. And in the 80s, that all was scrapped because of education cuts brought in under the... Well, I won't go into it, because it will turn to a viewpoint. Alf will phone up in a minute.
More than welcome.
It was, we will fight because it was because the Conservatives cut back on the playing fields and also cut back on what was seen unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Woodwork, metalwork, that whole sort of thing. It was vocational only. And so we've lost the correlation between food, where it comes from, what we can do with it, and it's cheaper and easier for people now because they have no knowledge. And my very good friend, Lucy Antal von Dzieszki, who is a Hungarian, but she lives in Liverpool, which is a hell of a combination. Wooten, yeah?
Wooten?
Yeah, she's...
That'd be nice.
She's been going into inner city areas in Liverpool, teaching young mums how to cook, because they don't know how to because it's been easier and cheaper to, because if you turn on the TV in the UK TV, Just Eat, sorry, delivery services, pizza delivery services, everything can be delivered to you at home. Yeah. So why should you, whilst you're sitting there watching the match,
why should you bother, even though
it's cheaper and easier to think? And that is one of the reasons that people are getting, because they are unaware of the huge salt and sugar content that goes into modern food.
Hidden
today, you don't even need to learn how to cook, just buy a Thermomix.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, you just follow the steps step by step. Yes, it goes bing, exactly. Bing, 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 bing. It's ready.
Very easy. Very,
yeah,
very
delicious
easy.
Things. Nice gazpacho in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
There you go, John. Don't look at me like that.
Somebody told me the other day about an air fryer. I'd never heard of that.
Oh, yes. No. Yes, air fryers are a thing.
And I was like, we bought one of them. Yeah. It's very rather nice, actually. Yeah, it's good.
Apparently you can do anything in it. I said,
you can, in theory, yeah. Right. In theory. We haven't tried making a cake in it or anything like that yet, but it's great for, I don't know, sweet potato fries or stuff like that. You know, it's really good.
And you don't miss the kind of crispy, fatty outside.
No, it works. Honestly, it works.
Yeah.
We've done vegetables in there as well. They're absolutely rocking. They're great, honestly. Wow. Really good. Okay. Retains a lot of the flavour and
the
texture.
So we have the technology now to be able
absolutely.
To cook fresh and nice without the need to learn all the recipes and everything else. So use the technology and don't eat things from a packet. If you have to read the label and see how many calories and all of that, you know, I mean, that's wrong.
Yeah,
you don't have to read labels. Just go and buy an apple and that's the fruit, by the way.
It means the fruit, not the actual small tablets, the apple, just to let you know.
Yeah, of course. No, it's true. It's a really good point, Andreas. I mean, I don't know... I want you to be honest here how realistic that is, because it sounds great, but in reality, are you telling me that you don't eat anything that comes from a packet?
Never.
Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious. Never eat anything that comes from a packet, no. Look, I know for people in the UK, perhaps a little bit more difficult to find fresh stuff that is good and everything else. But living in Spain, you have no excuse not to eat fresh all the time. And I know inflation is big at the moment and everything else, but it's still reasonable to buy fruit, vegetables and everything else that is fresh.
Yeah, yeah. Really tins? Tin food? Sorry, I'm going... Because I suddenly thought, what do you mean by packet? And I'm thinking, realistically, I'm not sure how many packeted foods we have in our house, to be honest. So,
but what tin food are you going to eat? Well, tuna tin? Okay, I'll give you tuna.
Okay.
Chopped tomatoes?
Yeah.
Chopped tomatoes.
But I mean...
baked beans.
They sell these lentejas and garbanzos and
that's true.
So easy to make at home.
That's true.
Nice and fresh. Yeah. Why would you buy a tin up in the tin and just like... Blech, blech,
I'm impressed. We better take a break.
The Lifestyle Show.
Presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Men Talk. Yes, you are. With me in the studio today is Giles Brown, Andreas Gallardo, and Peter Bennett, and the elves.
Yo,
ho, ho.
So, we are talking chivalry now. Put your bells away.
Sorry.
I was being chivalrous.
Thank you, very good. This article says, paying the bill on a first date might be derided as old-fashioned or even sexist. However, 85% of young men still picked up the tab on initial romantic rendezvous, and what's more, most of their dates expected them to do so.
Giles, over to you.
Well, hello, ladies.
No, I mean, again.
Would you?
Yeah. I have. I mean, I'm old school. I mean, I am old school, 70s childhood. I open the door for ladies. You know, I once famously opened the door for a lady I must have been about 13 in Stafford. I opened up the library door for her, and she said thank you in such ringing tones that somebody thought I'd done her a favour or something. She's like, people not turn around and look. So because it's, you know, chivalrous, get up on the train. You do that, right? So
I did that in Granada last week. Actually, we actually got a bus in Granada, and it was chock-a-block. The Christmas lights were on, and we were going to a flamenco show in the cave.
Sacramonte.
That's exactly right. Thank you. Well done. And we got on this bus because we couldn't find a taxi because of the Christmas lights.
Yeah.
And the bus...
are they that strong?
So the bus... There was only one bus stop. And the bus, and suddenly at this bus stop, the bus must have held 60 people.
Mm.
And about 50 people got on, and there was already 30 people on there.
Yeah.
So I gave up my seat for what I perceived to be an older lady. Of course, I then said to my wife that She might be the same age as me, actually, but anyway.
Well, well done. Well done.
Thank you.
I think it's a shame when it kind of goes back in your face. I remember an ex-boyfriend of mine at college many moons ago, he said, "I'm never holding a door open for a woman again."
Oh.
I was like, "Why?" And he said, "Because I did it once in a supermarket," not once, but this particular time, held the door for this lady, and she literally shouted at him, said, "I'm perfectly capable of opening the door for myself."
Come on.
And
not
like,
fair,
oh,
that,
really
is it?
Is that?
Not
so
fair.
Do you think the Knights of the Round Table would give up on the Grail if that happened? No. Chivalry. So.
So, Giles, 13, back to your childhood.
Okay,
tell us about your childhood.
About childhood.
Oh, God.
Here comes the but anyway, no, I mean, 9,000. If you're going on a date, a first date or whatever, and this is pre Tinder. This is pre even if you've met them on Tinder, whatever that is. Actually, you don't, I don't think you don't go on dates on Tinder. You just go on anyway. So
allegedly,
it's all a question of honour. You know, get on. No. Anyway, so I'll say that up and we're off. Yes, I will normally, if I'm going on, I will offer to pay for the meal. If the lady says, no, let's go double on that, then I'll ask her again. And if they still want to, fine. You know, I would never say it again. But I wouldn't say
so. So when you say you'll, this is an interesting point, you'll offer to pay.
No, I said I'll get, you know.
You'll ask, or will you just automatically
I
get
would automatically
partner?
Go for the. Okay. I would automatically go for the burn. If she goes, no, then, and I'll go, no, this is on me. And if she goes, no. If you override, if you say, no, I'm doing this.
I insist.
Then that can backfire on you too.
Yeah.
Because she's like, you know, I don't need no man to pay for me.
Yeah.
Have you done for me lately? I'm an independent woman, sister. You know, out comes the Beyonce track. Next thing, you're backing singers.
Yeah.
The whole of the back lines up. Wait, she's just like, so, yeah. We know, yeah. J-O-B. Ain't nothing going on about the rent, mofo. So, what have you done for me lately? So,
we get you.
Okay, so. Yeah. This can backfire, however. So, once upon a time, not so long ago in the 80s, when I was in London and my follicles were frolicking and my follicles were frolicking, pre-mobile phone, you used to meet the date, or your date, or your young lady, you used to meet, okay, I'll meet you outside Tire Records.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, no, I know exactly. Yeah.
Right, and it will always be the right-hand corner of Tower Records. You're looking at that big thing, Piccadilly Circus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I went there, and I was running half an hour late, pre-mobile phone, no way to get in touch. And she was there, looking at it. And I said, okay, no problem. I will take you for a meal anywhere within 5 minutes of walking distance of here. And she went, okay, fine. I said, any style you like. She looked at me, she went, Japanese. Now, if you know, right,
pre-sushi,
House of Izumi.
Oh,
exactly, there you go. Possibly the most expensive restaurant in London.
Wow.
But of course you lose face in the whole thing. So yeah, you're not worth that.
I take it the relationship didn't blossom.
It literally cost me half my wage for the month.
Wow.
But you know, by the bullet. Yeah, but you see, you know, if you pretend to be a gentleman and you're in for it, then you've got to, you know, it's not all going to go your way seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's manners, it's the
absolutely.
Whole thing.
Absolutely.
You know. Andreas, do you feel the same?
look, you're asking a Catalan. And we are famous, as your listeners will know, for being tight with money. But no, I think the right thing to do, obviously, on the first date is just you pay for the meal. In fact, you, before it becomes an issue and the bill comes, to say, oh, I'll invite you for dinner. So that is settled.
Okay.
However,
uh-huh.
here the Catalan side comes out. if that the relationship develops into something more, and there are other meals in the future, then I think it's natural that they should be split.
Okay.
Unless it's a particular occasion, a birthday or whatever, when you said,
okay.
Oh, I'll take you out for dinner. But if it's just going out for the sake of going out, then you go split. But on the first one, I think it's nice that you said, oh, let me take you out for dinner.
Okay.
When you say take you out, means you're
that
paying.
Means you pay, yeah. Okay.
Just in case you didn't know, there is actually an ancient Catalan traditional mating ritual. Basically, you get four girls that you think you might like, yeah, and you get one of these Catalan catapults, and you fire your wallet into the distance. And the one who gets there first, that's the girl you marry. thank you. Follow me for more lifestyle hacks.
Brilliant. As a married man, Peter, I'm interested because I have.
Are you iron now?
No.
Thanks, Han. I'm very flattered. Thanks.
How it's different when you've been together for a long time, because we I'll start. I'll do me in a minute. You go.
That's interesting. That is interesting because on occasion, if my wife's had a good year or a good week or whatever it is, she'll take me out and treat me, and I will do the same.
So
yeah,
lovely.
It's really cool. Even though essentially it's all coming out of the same pot, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's kind of the gesture, isn't it?
And yes.
And for those of you who don't know my wife, she's absolutely wonderful, and she doesn't half take care of me. Oh, you know, I'll tell you. Yeah. So I like to try and return the compliment whenever I can. You know,
who's the lady waiting for you outside?
That's right. That's my girlfriend, mate. Don't tell the wife.
That's Katie.
Still
Bryce.
On, Hannah.
That's Katie. She's got the car.
because we do the same, even though it's pretty much a lot of the time coming out of the same pot.
Yeah.
Like after I've just been paid or something, I'll say, oh, I'm going to take you out for dinner, or he'll do the same, even though it basically is. But it's just the gesture. You know, when we go out for a meal, often I'm the one with the card, so often I'll pay, but it's not necessarily me paying. It may well be his money coming from. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But it's nice to do that kind of gesture. Oh, I'm going to take you for
spare a thought for the waiting staff, because automatically they will tend to come towards the guy, won't they?
Yes, that's true.
In these days, anyway, that could be like, again, you go, oh, so you think I can't, you know, so the poor waiting staff gets it in the neck.
We've got one more ad break, I think.
TRE.radio.
The Lifestyle Show.
Presented by Hannah Murray.
Welcome to the last part of Men Talk. The last part of, I was going to say TRE in the afternoon. It's not, is it? It's Lifestyles. Hannah Murray doing Lifestyles for Selena this week. I'm off tomorrow and all of next week. So, So we'll be back on Monday, the 3rd of January. Thank you very much. Celebrating Christmas. You like Christmas, don't you? So there is a piece here talking about classic films going to be getting stricter ratings. Young fans who saw Jaws in 1975 certainly thought it was safe to go back to the cinema, but the censors are now not so ready to agree. They've given the Steven Spielberg classic and a host of other blockbusters, including The Empire Strikes Back, stricter ratings. They claim it's to keep up with modern attitudes. Other films to be reclassified include seemingly harmless family favourites such as Lord of the Rings, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Ghostbusters. Jaws has seen its ratings raised from PG, meaning parental guidance is advised for young children, to 12A, meaning under 12s must be accompanied by an adult.
No!
No!
This is, why? This is not working! Just leave it alone! Please, leave it alone! What's the problem with
He's
people
He's worried about
now?
Bad Santa, isn't he?
Re-qualify these films? What stupidity is that? I mean, come on!
Victor Mantra is alive and well and living!
I don't believe it!
No, seriously,
you can't. I saw it when he came out, and you didn't have...
Didn't do many, huh?
No. I'm a normal... Well... Maybe they should let them...
And failed slightly down the end. Well, I remember not watching Jaws when it came out because
you,
I had friends
born.
Who watched. Okay, yeah. Fair play. Okay, so later on when people were watching it, kids were watching it at school, and I remember they said they would never want to swim in the sea again. And I remember thinking, well, I love swimming in the sea.
Wow.
I don't want to watch this movie if that's how it's going to make me feel. So there's quite... And I remember seeing... Was it Raiders of the Lost Ark when they're trapped in that... No, Tomb. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. When they're in the room that gets smaller and smaller and there's snakes everywhere.
Yeah.
I haven't liked snakes ever since because of that scene. So...
Nobody likes snakes.
Well,
I don't know. Pissing
sin. But normally it's because of a reason.
Yeah.
Like watching a film, possibly.
The thing is, okay, if you go back to the 70s we're talking about, there was You, anybody could watch it.
Yeah.
There was A,
yeah.
And then there was double A.
Yeah.
And then there was X.
Yeah.
Right? And then there was triple X, you couldn't see that because it was porn. So
yeah.
So X was, Saturday Night Fever was originally an X.
Was he?
Yeah, because of the guy... spoiler, by the way, a guy falls off the bridge.
Oh, yeah,
and that
does.
Was violence. Yeah. And therefore, Saturday Night Fever had to be recut as an A so that we could all see it when we were 12, right? Mm-hmm. Jaws, double A, 18, yeah? Excalibur was a double A as well, yeah. So what we think... So there were ratings in them, but something like Jaws was never intended to be watched by 12-year-olds.
No.
So therefore,
true.
That was it was a double A, yeah? Raiders... Raiders was an A. So the problem is you've got the British Board of Film Classification.
Yes.
Has a limit on perceived threat of violence. So something like Final Fantasy or Lord of the Rings, that's fantasy violence, that's different. But it's a threat like Jaws. You're never going to get, you know, unless you go to a particularly rough bar in New Zealand, you're never going to get picked up by an orc, yeah?
No.
However, you might. Well, I know there's been a few times, you know. It has been a quiet week. However, you could go swimming in the sea off Australia and get bitten in half by a shark. That is a real threat, so that could really muck with you. So that's why that shouldn't... So that deserves a rating of whatever it is. But it should never be a PG, whereas Lord of the Rings or Raiders, that's fantasy violence, that's different.
But fantasy violence gives children nightmares. Monsters and... I mean, that's the thing. Kids have nightmares about monsters from it... Yeah, absolutely.
Really? I mean, I saw Jaws when I was a kid, and I wasn't traumatised. I saw all the kids my generation saw Jaws in the cinema, and nobody's traumatised. Everybody's going to see. And
your Catalans are wondering what happened to his wallet. If he's in the sea, his jacket's on the beach. Let's get it.
He's from Barcelona.
He's from Barcelona. But there's also that you need the ability to differentiate between fantasy and reality, don't you? Which is
one thing in my bed. The big problem.
Yes, that's true. No, that's true.
Children can't.
Which is why you need
the point.
Some sort of classification system.
We were talking about Harry Potter with friends the other day, and apparently the first four films are quite mild, but the last few are quite dark and are a little bit more scary for kids.
Oh, the
But the children grow up, don't they? So the first four, and by the time everyone,
they're all about 23.
Grown up, and so they're okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, excuse me. You were saying?
But you need to be careful with young children watching them. I cannot believe. I mean, I know what you're saying about the classifications, Giles, but I'm sure they're saying that. Jaws was a PG, which I think...
Jaws was never a PG.
It says here...
1977.
Yeah, Jaws has seen its rating raised from PG to 12A. I cannot believe that Jaws was a PG.
No, Jaws was in the 70s. Was, I mean, shoot me down and prove me wrong, but I remember my dad and his mates going to see it, you know, on a late night showing. That was never round the block. Star Wars was an A. Yeah,
but I mean, kind of Close Encounters, adult orientated films. If that doesn't sound too weird, doesn't it? They weren't necessarily kids'
think
films.
George is a
George. Bungle and Zippy. Where are they?
No, I don't think Jaws should be seen by children.
No,
I really don't.
Unless you really,
I
would tend to agree.
Unless you really don't like them.
No. It's so violent and scary.
It is.
Just that one scene can, as I say,
it's a very scary film.
Can make children not want to swim in the sea for the rest of their lives.
Okay.
Oh, you with that, Andreas?
I'll take it back. Children, don't go to see students build all the movies.
Don't eat stuff out of a package either.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, horror films have always been like a thing, and I never wanted to do that. I remember at school, kids getting together and watching horror films,
dreadful.
And I'd try, and I'd just be like, no, I don't want to. I'd go and sit in
when
the
you
kitchen.
When you live in a house on its own, 3 kilometres from the nearest neighbours, next to a forest and a lake, you don't watch anything that involves a cabin by a woods.
You don't want the Blair Witch Project, on, do you?
Especially when you have to go and turn the generator off as well.
You hear a noise.
Well, no, the thing was, I was judging the film festival, and the last film was a horror. Anyway, and I went down to, and it freaked me out, so I went to turn the generator off, and the cat attacked me.
Oh, no. Did you scream?
I almost had a heart attack. What are you about? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you very much, all of you, for coming on to Men Talk. Andreas, thank you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you all.
I do hope you have a really nice Christmas and you enjoy yourself.
I'm sure I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Giles, Merry Christmas.
Jaws is a Christmas movie.
Looking forward to hearing you on the airways on Christmas Day. What time?
10 till 12 on Christmas morning.
Fantastic.
Fabulous. And thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Hannah.
Nice.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Have a good one.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.